Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for February the 7th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is hour two of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founders, using the supreme law of the land, the Constitution, for the United States of America as our guide, rejecting revolution, standing for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. That's who we are. We believe the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. Dr. Scott Bradley with us this hour as well. His lifelong goal and collegiate series to match, to preserve the nation, all found at freedomsrisingsun.com. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thank you very much. And you know, sometimes it's one of my, a quirk, I guess you might say. When we come on the air, I give a little bit of a weather report. You know what? There's something to global warming, I'm afraid. You know, we are 12 degrees Fahrenheit this morning, which is a veritable, you know, banana belt temperature for what we've been doing lately. And I guess maybe the globe is warming. What do you think? 12 degrees.
Absolutely. You know, it's usually like a minus 10 or something like that. I mean, it's just like way up.
But you know what? I got to tell most people, if you don't know what 12 degrees is, you probably have never been in that fresh environment.
That's right. But I will say this, though, I want people to understand this because it's really true. You know these low numbers that you hear temperature-wise when you're in the mountains? When you're in the mountains, that you're at such elevation to where you just don't have near as much atmosphere that the sun has to go through. And the sun is absolutely blazing warming when you're way up in the mountains, you know, 5, 6, 7, whatever thousand feet. Up. And so even if it's 12 degrees, believe it or not, if you're working outside and the sun's out and it's a clear sunny day, it gets hot and you're taking off jackets. You know, you think you got to have on 20 layers of clothes. And at night, if it's, you know, or at night, if it's the clouds are there and the sun's not there, yeah, it's really cold. But you know what? If the sun's out, believe it or not, those low temperatures aren't as cold as people think.
Yeah, you can absolutely deal with it. But I'll tell you, Some years ago, I used to regularly interview an upper atmosphere scientist out of a university about global warming, and you mentioned the sun. And absolutely, unequivocally, completely and totally, he is thoroughly convinced, I don't know how much more strongly I can state it, that the sun is the factor on this, and it has nothing whatsoever to do with man-caused issues upon the earth. And if the climate is changing, and climate does change. From right now, it'll get warmer in my day. It'll get colder in the evening. I mean, climate changes constantly. But the fact of the matter is, the principal cause and effect relationship is related to the sun. According to this, he's a world-renowned upper atmosphere professor, and that's his take on it. And we talked many times about this. So anyway, I mean, I know we're far afield on this, but yeah, the climate changes and the sun comes up and goes down. Come on, people. Let's stop trying to take over the whole society and put draconian measures in place that will only put the powers that be, the establishment, if you will, more in control of our lives. Let's go on. Let's live. Let's do the things we need to. And let's focus on the things that need to be focused on, not the oinded awfuls that they've created.
Ladies and gentlemen, there's so many climate change lies, it's not comprehensible. Ladies and gentlemen, look, they have so many lies when it comes to climate change, so many half-truths, so many manipulations. It is true that the climate changes, right? It is true that the climate has cycles. That's all factual, and I don't think it's really even available for debate, ladies and gentlemen. But what you got to understand is this, the climate changes every day. As Dr. Bradley wisely points out, it gets warmer in the day, cooler at night. But you also have cyclical changes seasonally. You know what? You have winter, spring, summer, and fall. You've got years. You know, I'll give you an example. In Idaho last year, southeast Idaho, You know, it didn't even snow hardly at all. In fact, in the middle of winter, there was really hardly or no snow on the ground at all. This year, there's like 3 feet of snow on the ground. And you know what? What's the difference? Well, it's 1 year versus another year. Did global warming happen from 2021 to 2022? See, I don't think so. In fact, there's a lot more snow this year. So cooling happened, if you will, or whatever, greater precipitation, El Nino, La Nina, all these other made up words and everything else. So the fact that cycles happen, the fact that we're in drought years, the fact that, you know, et cetera, all those things are normal and reality. No one will debate that. The debate, in my opinion, is the lies they tell and then what they want to do about it. Where they want to place blame is one lie. All the factors relating to their assertions are a lie. They used to say that it was global cooling. Then they said it was global warming. And now they call it climate change, because then it doesn't matter if it cools or warms. The reality is they're lying about who's to blame. Humans are to blame. They're causing it all. The fact that you burp and breathe, you're the enemy. And therefore, we as government, or omnipotence, God, if you will, government thinks it's God, says we got to rein in you malcontents, you great unwashed causers of destruction on the planet. And therefore, and so it's a control mechanism that the communists, the socialists, the folks that want tyranny use against we, the people. So what you got to understand is no one debates that the climate changes. But rather than place blame and put government as God to destroy our lives and ruin us and act like we're the enemy, we ought to take a page out of scripture and say, hey, God uses the climate to stir the people up in remembrance of him. Why? Because when we remember him and we keep his commandments, we're blessed. And when we turn our back on God, ladies and gentlemen, we lose those blessings. So you got to understand the media and the government's climate change lies and exaggerations need to be exposed. Because it isn't about the climate change. That's been doing that for decades, for centuries, for millennia. The reality is that government's inserting itself, pretending it's God, and blaming it on the children of God. We got to be wise enough to reject that narrative, ladies and gentlemen, and say, hey, who's to blame? Well, the people are. But it's not because they're disobeying government or because they're existing. It's because they're disobeying God Almighty. And he uses the climate to stir us up in remembrance of him. Dr. Bradley?
You know, Sam, it's interesting, and you probably had a whole different concept of what we might talk about, and I know we got to get to that. But, you know, you look back at 1883, there was an eruption of a volcano, Krakatoa, back in Indonesia. And it changed the climate with all of the volcanic ash it threw into the atmosphere around the world. For years afterwards, it was, you know, recognized as having an effect on the atmosphere, the weather and everything else like that. About 200 years ago, we had a mini ice age going on. There was no summer in New England just over 200 years ago, probably about 1816 or so. I mean, there was just no summer at all. It snowed in the middle of the summer. And there were things that happened. And this was all before what we would call really the industrial age that had come along, and everything they're blaming it on, carbon footprints and everything else like that. Stuff happens. And, we just don't seem to be able to learn from that. I remember when I was younger, there was a great movement saying we're moving into a new ice age. We're all going to freeze to death. Then it became we're all going to cook. Now it's climate change. They can do whatever they want with it because, wow, anything happens, we can blame it on man, you know. It's just bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
Well, not only can we blame it on man, but there's nothing man can do to resolve the problem except for give more control, more authority, more whatever to government, as government pretends it's God. That's really what's going on here, though, ladies and gentlemen. You got to understand that fundamental principle. Look, you can't fix it. You're just to blame. The reason they want that unsolvable reality is because then government can try to replace or supplant God. And then government can deal with you in a tyrannical way, opposite from true God, if you will. And that's what they're doing, Doctor.
You know, in my faith, there's a scripture that says, as well might man stretch forth his puny arm to stop the Missouri River in its decreed course than to turn it upstream or to turn it upstream as to the Almighty, hinder the Almighty from pouring down knowledge from heaven upon the heads of the people. It's interesting to me that, you know, there's a scriptural reference from our belief system that the man's puny arm can do little to alter these things, to stop the Missouri in its course or change it upstream or whatever. We keep thinking that man has this almost omnipotent power to do things when truly we are pipsqueaks on the earth in comparison to the natural force and power that God wields upon this planet and indeed throughout the universe. So, you know, we're far afield probably again, but these are different tools that are being used by those that wish to bring draconian impositions upon God's children upon the earth. And they're doing it for their own purposes, not for the good of mankind.
Hard to know where to go from here, ladies and gentlemen, except the simple reality that we've got to call a spade, and we've got to reject not the global warming discussion, because what they want us to do is just be against climate change and act like climate change is not happening. Then they can claim we're wrong and they're right, and, well, they are right. What we've got to do is take it on for what it is. God's in charge, not you government buffoons. That's the first point. We'll talk about it. We got a lot more to cover with Dr. Scott Bradley in seconds on your radio.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody ever having a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Scott Bradley talking about climate change. You know what? They want you to debate that it's not real. And then that way they can say it's real, and then every time you say it's not real, then something happens crazy climate-wise, and they say, see how ignorant, see how, you know, conspiracy theory-oriented you are, see how wrong. In fact, we ought to arrest you for your wrong-headed views, and that's the train they go down because they know they've got a solid one. The climate is changing. Always has, always will. And God uses it to stir us up in remembrance of him. And government literally wants to change that narrative. And they want to use this to control all of us. And so we're wise to say, yeah, climate change is real. But is it the humanoid to blame? God's children are to blame? Only in that we don't keep the commandments of God, maybe. But government has no authority and power in this regard. Just because they have these scientists that want to lie or that are afraid to tell the truth, or we can go on and on and on and on. we've got to really be careful of this, Dr. Bradley. It's something that we've got to be wise about. Uh-oh, we'll try to get back Dr. Bradley. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, are we on? Are we okay with
the
audio? Okay,
yep.
Good. Yeah, they tried to sucker punch you into entering a conflict, a narrative that basically they try to control both ends of it, if you will. It's like the controlled opposition kind of thing. And the reality of the fact is that that their solution is not a solution to anything. All it is a narrative or a solution to bring about tyranny. And so, you know, if you take the bait, if you will, and you try to argue with them about this and that and the other, oh, they got plenty of so-called experts that, of course, there's generally no science in all the way they're going about things. And how we might, well, we're both in Utah. And back about 1849, 1850, there was a government study done called the Stansbury Project that came out and reviewed the Great Basin. It was being settled. It had been obtained through the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo from Mexico after the Mexican War. And they needed to kind of, you know, map it and see what, you know, kinds of soil and climate and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, what they noted in that in their study was a phenomenon called temperature inversions. And it's when high pressure comes over a valley, it caps the whatever's in the valley and keeps it there. And it becomes a haze or a smaze, if you will. And here we are, you know, we're talking 1850-ish. And oh my goodness, look at this. Well, nowadays, when we get a temperature inversion, it's, oh my goodness, look at what cars have caused, or humanity with their heating of their homes and all this kind of stuff. No, there was a few Native Americans and a few Mormon pioneers in the Salt Lake Valley at that time. And it was, you know, they had campfires and stuff like that. The temperature inversion is a reality of the environment that they live in, and it's not caused by man. It's simply a situation where when high pressure moves over the valley, it caps in the valley whatever's there. And the Great Basin is prone to that phenomenon. But people don't know that it's been around since before humanity really populated an area. But we act as though, and by the way, in the state of Utah, the Environmental Protection Agency plays a big footprint on the people. I say footprint because I think of a boot on people's throats, where here a couple of years ago, they had a big movement, the DAQ, Division of Air Quality in Utah. It's an EPA, you know, wannabe. It does whatever the EPA says. They wanted everyone to never have a fireplace or a wood-burning stove in their home. Well, we had a big cross-the-state debate over it. And the buffoons that were doing it don't understand that preparing for any kind of challenges, such as a power outage or an earthquake or something, these kinds of things can be lifesavers. But they wanted to completely expunge that from society because they wanted to make certain that we couldn't have anything polluting the atmosphere. We poured them back in the bottle. They backed off, but the EPA has not gone away, and neither is the Division of Air Quality. But they basically want to control how we might heat our homes at some point. And it's just amazing how broad and long their reach is. So, yeah, there's tyrants that are always willing to, you know, basically raise their ugly head and use any excuse they can come up with. But again, this challenge that we face of temperature inversions was kind of pre-human population within these valleys. So, I don't know. If we don't learn from history, we're doomed to repeat the things that they keep throwing out at us. So
yes, we are, ladies and gentlemen. It's important to really understand the issues at hand. They've gotten so good. Satan and his minions have gotten so good at deception to where if you argue the wrong points, you know what? You lose the battle. So when they tell me, hey, you know what? Global warming, climate change, I say, yeah, you're right. It's all real. Absolutely. Who do you want in charge, God or government?
That's a choice.
And if they say government, then I say you're off your rocker. That leads to tyranny every time. Where in the supreme law of the land is government given consent, in other words, charge over climate? The answer is it doesn't exist. I would turn to God Almighty and then say, why, if God loves his children, do we have these climate catastrophes going on? Answer, because we're sinning, because we're not doing what he wants us to do. And therefore, if we repent and turn to God Almighty, a lot of these things will reduce. Oh, we'll still have winter, spring, summer, and fall. We just won't have all these crazy catastrophes that always stir us up in remembrance of our God. See, we've got to learn how to argue this in a good way. And then what they'll do is they'll dismiss it and say, oh, well, you talk about God, that's just your crutch because you're of a feeble mind. My response is, you thugs can deny the truth all you want as you try to create a tyranny in the greatest country on the face of the earth, but it's not happening on my watch or the millions of Christians that understand the truth either. So we've got to be able to be bold and literally take on the narrative in meaningful ways, Doctor.
Absolutely. And it's amazing to me that, you know, you talk about them throwing enough mud against the wall that some of it's going to stick, and we're over there trying to scrape it off. There's somebody on the other wall across the way throwing it against it that's trying to destroy everything. I mean, I look at, for example, the mandate that all military personnel receive the jab. Well, you know, I don't know if you've seen that letter by Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin that he's asked an explanation for this. The huge percentages that's increased since the military started receiving the jab on seemingly unrelated things like cancer and abortion. Well, not abortion, I guess I should say miscarriage. I mean, all of these things, but they've got huge, huge things that are happening. And I think it affects our military readiness. So here we have, on the one hand, they're trying to get us to shut down, whether we want to, transport ourselves around or our goods and services around. We want to heat our homes or cool them or whatever. On the other hand, we're cutting the guts out of our military forces with mandates and things. It is just appalling to me that at every single turn, I mean, there's efforts to rewrite our Constitution. Pick a subject, any subject, and there, it's kind of like, how could they be wrong on every instance unless it was planned? And I guess I have to admit that I can't see how it could happen, where every single instance of anything that's happening within the nation right now with the current, isn't this not Democrats, certainly not just Republicans, it's a concerted effort by those at the head of the government that are going about the effort to see, anyway, look at the invasion through the southern border, for crying out loud, and how they're actually seeding within our country an invasion force, if you will. And you say, oh, they're not all people that are, invading us. They're just people that want jobs. Well, the fact of the matter is, if you have millions, literally millions, that came in 2021, and they do this year after year, is there cause for concern? I would submit yes. And we could get off on a discussion about U.S. immigration law and how it's the most generous and welcoming of any in the world, and yet and still the system that was established by law, Article 1, Section 8 says that the Congress needs to establish these immigration and naturalization things, and there's good reason for that. Federalist 42 talks about that, and Madison expresses that. But the point of the matter is, the president isn't faithfully fulfilling the laws of the land, and he should be impeached for it, by the way, because he violates his oath of office and a constitutional requirement that that he sees that those laws are faithfully fulfilled. No, they're bringing people in, writing them a ticket, and sending them throughout the nation. I don't know. There's just almost every subject's available to talk about.
Yeah, criminal government, ladies and gentlemen. Rogue agents in government are doing everything they can to destroy the greatest country on the face of the earth. Ron Johnson, senator standing up, sends letter to Secretary of Defense demanding information on shockingly high COVID-19 vaccine injury among military personnel. More on your radio in seconds.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
You USA Radio News with Lance Pride.
As Russia postures for the largest invasion in Europe since the Nazis did it in the late 1930s, Ukraine officials downplayed a possible incursion by Russia, saying do not believe the apocalyptic predictions, after U.S. officials said Moscow had assembled 70% of the military force needed for a full-scale invasion. National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan on ABC News.
Our view is that China is not in a position to compensate Russia for the economic losses that would come from our sanctions. If Russia does choose to move forward, not only will it come at strategic cost to Russia, but if China is seen as having supported it, it will come at some cost to China as well.
Australia will reopen its borders from February 21st to foreign travelers who have received two COVID-19 vaccine doses. Australia's borders have been shut to most non-residents since March of 2020. USA Radio News.
Save on your next oil change when you purchase 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the price of Pennzoil Conventional, now $26.99. Extend the life of your vehicle and save big with Pennzoil Oil and Filter Specials at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Plus, earn double O rewards points on this purchase. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You need an accurate thermometer to check for fever, a potential sign of flu or COVID. Be vigilant and contact your medical provider at the first sign of fever. Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer has been proven accurate in more than 100 clinical studies. Exergen Temporal Scanners are available at Walmart and other fine retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com. Exergen is changing the way the world takes temperature.
One lawmaker says Nancy Pelosi is shielding the Chinese government.
It's become widely accepted by experts that the pandemic likely began in Wuhan, China. How it began, though, has not been nailed down. Meanwhile, the U.S. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy says that it should be nailed down. But the Democratic Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, has been standing in the way of a good independent investigation.
Think about what Nancy Pelosi has done as Speaker. She has protected China from any investigations to the origin of COVID, even though it's killed more than 900,000 Americans. She's preventing American athletes from protesting at the Olympics. And now she's producing a bill that sends American taxpayer money to China.
Money that's to go to China for it to conduct an investigation that McCarthy says would certainly not be independent. He spoke on Fox News. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we always, as citizens, in my opinion, sadly turn to government for solutions when we ought not. We ought to turn to God Almighty. We ought to look inward to our families. God, family, and country, ladies and gentlemen, not government first. But I bring this up because, you know, exposing the media's climate change and the government's climate change lies and exaggerations is vitally important. We got to call a spade what it is. We got to point people to God Almighty, not government. I'll tell you that right now. And Senator Ron Johnson doing a great job doing this on the COVID dishonesty and the problems there. Ron Johnson sends a letter to Secretary of Defense demanding information, demanding shocking information on COVID-19 for troops. You know, you got military personnel having injuries and death big time. Why? And so we'll see what the answers are on that. I appreciate Ron standing up doing that. Ladies and gentlemen, we also got these border problems. And interestingly enough, here's the headline on the border, because Dr. Bradley brings that up. It's a target-rich environment of criminal elements in government, that's for sure. But here's the headline. Trump, if he wins the presidency again in 2024, the first thing he'll do, his first, quote, executive action, so he's already looking to executive orders, what he'll do is he'll build the wall. He'll crank up, restart construction of the wall on the southern U.S. border. Look, I don't think we ought to put our arm or our trust in one man. I don't think we ought to put our trust in the arm of flesh at all, as you wisely point out, Dr. Bradley. The arm of man is puny and worthless And you know what? But we think one man's going to solve it. We think if we just get Trump in 2024, he'll build the wall. He'll stop the border crisis. No, no, no. All this is a lie, ladies and gentlemen. One person ain't going to do any good. Now, I'm not here to attack Trump. I'm here to highlight that you just can't trust in the one, the two, the few, as if those people somehow will be just benevolent and solve all our problems. It isn't the way it works, ladies and gentlemen. God sets forth the pattern. He's the author of our liberty. Until we directly confront that reality, Doctor, we're just off in a gazillion roads to nowhere, sir.
We've talked many times on your program, Sam, about the origins of the principles that that founded this nation, and how they are tied back to a scriptural basis, and they've been promoted by God, if you will, from the very foundation of mortal individuals being on the earth. And so the American Founding Fathers incorporated those principles into our form of government. And now again, government was not to be such a big footprint, if you will. That was never intended by the American Founders. It had a specific assignment that were, the powers were few and well-defined, as Madison wrote, and those powers were to be delegated to the general government so that they could fulfill the responsibilities in interfacing with other nations and so on and so forth. There were things that they had to have in order to do that. They understood this from not only studying history, but also their experience with the Articles of Confederation, the first Constitution. So anyway, here's what we go to. I'm absolutely convinced that the origins of the United States Constitution were divine. I believe that firmly within my heart. And I think that the understanding of that could come for anyone that would study it and think it through. And so when we say, let no more be said of confidence in man, but bind him down from mischief by the chains of the Constitution. That's what Jefferson and Madison collaborated on back when they were trying to put out some things about nullification. But at any rate, bind them down from mischief with the change of the Constitution. You know, man is not omniscient or omnipresent or, completely in control of anything, really. And we try and build that image about how government somehow, humans, foible humans, with all of their traits of stupidity, if you will, that in their own lives they make really dumb decisions. And you put them in a government position and you say, oh, suddenly we can trust them to make good and wise and honorable choices. No, no, no. Their power is limited and bounded. And really and truly, they have only been delegated certain authority. They claim almost omniscient, omnipresent authority, and they dink around with things that have absolutely nothing to do with any of the authority delegated to them, and everything they step in is a mess. It's a complete disaster. So, yeah, bind them down from mischief. Allow them to only participate, and that's the oath they take. The Constitution is written in plain English. Those words have meanings. Those meanings can be known. They can only be what they meant in the day they were written. There is no other authority that may be somehow gathered to them because of some, I don't know, idea that, we're going to use this as the excuse. You know, the Article 1, Section 8, Clause 18, where it's kind of a catch-all. You can do whatever you darn well please. No, no, no. Read that carefully. Congress only has power to carry out the things that were delegated to it. There is no other power or authority.
Government derives its authority and power from the consent of the governed. And we've given certain authority to different branches of government on the general level. And then we've given authority on the general level in a very restricted, very detailed, outlined manner. Everything else is off the table for the general government. There's checks and balances vertically and horizontally is the point, ladies and gentlemen. But this idea, though, that, you know what, Trump, if he wins the presidency, is going to build the wall and everything else. You know, they want you to believe Trump would be some kind of a blessed, benevolent king. We reject all that in America, ladies and gentlemen. Always have, always will, Dr. Bradley.
Bind them down for mischief with a change of the Constitution. I don't care how much you have somehow delusionally accepted that somebody is going to take the power and use it benevolently, as you said, a benevolent king. No, they have no authority beyond what is delegated. 10th Amendment says that specifically. We didn't give you the power, you don't have it. So don't be putting your trust in the arm of flesh. And again, the origins, I believe, of proper government, limited government, and all of the accoutrements that were originally established with checks and balances and separation and this idea of one basically resisting the other, you know, the constitutional means of for example, the president creating law, you know, with executive orders or through their alphabet soup organizations. There is no authority to do that. The legislature needs to grow a backbone and says over our dead body, you are not going to usurp this power to make a law about, let's say, firearms or a law about, you know, some mandate for
climate
a
change.
Vaccine. Climate change. You pick anything. And by the way, the Congress does not have power to do that either. The Congress does not have power to do make a mandate that everybody gets a jab. No, they don't. There is nothing in the Constitution that would allow the general government or any government, because every government is bound by the fundamental principles that are found in the Declaration of Independence. You know, these truths to be self-evident, created equal, endowed with by their creator with certain unalienable rights. It mentions a few. Says the purpose of government is to secure those rights, secure those God-given rights. It never says, oh, no, no, there's a little tiny caveat in there that says, if we get a virus that comes in the country, we can stop your ability to assemble or to practice your religion or whatever. No, there is nothing that would do that kind of thing. And the consent of the governed was given when we ratified the Constitution or our state constitutions and said, yeah, okay, we've looked at the framework of this. We understand the limits and bounds. This is what we're giving to our government to do. We give our consent to be governed by these people under these circumstances. But just because somebody gets elected does not mean they suddenly have authority, the consent of the governed, if you will, to run amok and become a tyranny. These fundamental truths are lost upon most Americans, and consequently we are losing the vast majority of our individual God-given rights, and it's hardly recognizable. This country currently is hardly recognizable from what it was 150 years ago. Lincoln implemented a lot of things that are still haunting us today, and that's a big burden that we carry today. So,
amen. But
anyway,
whether it's Trump, ladies and gentlemen, or whether it's whacked out Biden, understand you're not going to get some individual to solve all your problems. The only way forward is a humble foreign policy, is a humble understanding of the checks and balances that made America great, and then a good, honest, moral people turning to God and having humility and repentance, and then standing up and saying, look, we demand you obey the consent of the government. The Constitution outlines our contract. You are violating the contract. We're not going to tolerate it anymore. I've got two stories to highlight to make the point. We're rushing towards war like you wouldn't believe, ladies and gentlemen. Bloomberg jumped the gun. They got caught. We'll talk about it in seconds on your radio.
You are a racist. Your mom is a racist. Your dad is a racist. And your entire family is racist. And you should all be punished. That's what Governor Brad Little thinks about you. So much so that he took $30 million of taxpayers' money to force critical race theory down the throats of school children, even though the Idaho legislature voted against it. This is the doctrine that teaches your children that just because they are white, they are racist. Yes, your governor, good old Brad Little, violated the constitutional law and did this while you weren't watching. Why is Governor Brad Little paying to promote radical leftist doctrine loved by Democrats like Boise Mayor McLean and sleepy Joe Biden? This is Ammon Bundy, and we need to completely reject critical race theory in Idaho.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
Vote for Bundy. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education, conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk always at your fingertips. Man, we got just a bunch of stuff going on. On every break, I'm preparing for a video show right after the radio show. I'm a guest. And we got to cover all this stuff. We got to take off the gloves and stand for the sacred cause of liberty. And we got to do it boldly, nobly, independently. And we better do it now. It starts with the humble people that turn to their God and repent. It starts with insisting, hey, we're the consent of the governed. We're the governed. By our consent, you derive just power. Other than that, you're rogue and out of control. And there's vertical and horizontal checks and balances to stop you from your tyrannical ways. But we, the people, better get it done and stand up and be part of the equation, because the Founding Fathers said you're out of a republic. That's only if you can keep it. And, man, we're struggling to keep it right now. That's the reality. Bloomberg, ladies and gentlemen, had to issue an apology Friday evening after they accidentally ended up publishing an article titled Russia Invades Ukraine. Yeah, they say we provide headlines and create headlines for many scenarios. And the headline, Russia Invades Ukraine, was the headline they put up on their website. But it was inadvertently published around 4 p.m. Friday evening. And ladies and gentlemen, they had to eat crow and take it down. But Dr. Bradley, imagine the media already having headlines created, articles written for us going to war. For literally saying, hey, Russia has invaded Ukraine. It's not even true. They inadvertently released it. They got busted doing it. I don't think you got to write headlines like that at all. And you almost wonder if by doing this, they're trying to provoke and trying to up the ante for war, sir.
Well, there's always been a propaganda machine that's out there, you know, whether it's Remember the Maine or, you know, any of these things, the Lusitania and how it was sunk. There's always these provocateurs that are there trying to churn up an end result. And sometimes they get a little ahead of themselves. I mean, it was like in Utah with the COVID emergency. We hadn't even had a single attributed death to COVID. And the governor declares a state of emergency in Utah. Of course, it's to get federal funds. The people with the war drums going, they are absolutely attempting. War is the most onerous burden a nation takes upon itself. It's got to be checked and balanced by the clear deliberative processes the Founding Fathers established. But yet, it will destroy our liberty if it's allowed to kind of just flow, if you will, unendingly. And that's where they're going. I think the Bloomberg thing is, I don't know if they just had it waiting in the wings so that they, you know, when somebody pushed the button, they could send it and look like they were way ahead of the story or what. But the fact of the matter is, you can see where they're encouraging, they're facilitating. They're a big part of the problem in trying to bring us to war. Again, the deliberative processes of going to war have not been followed in America for many decades now, not once in my lifetime, in fact. We've had a continual warfare going on since we got in the United Nations, which was ostensibly there to stop war, but has had the opposite effect. But the Bloomberg thing is kind of like the Dewey Wins headlines that Truman held up after his victory in the presidential election. People are just primed up and they're ready to go, and sometimes it seems like they get a little ahead of themselves and they have to retract it a little bit, but that doesn't
But here's my question, Dr. Bradley. It's one thing to say, yeah, we wrote a headline that says, hey, Russia has invaded Ukraine, only to realize that it wasn't even true, okay?
Yeah.
Russia invades Ukraine. Then they say, hey, we provide a bunch of headlines for a variety of situations. So do they have one that says America decides to have a humble foreign policy and avoid foreign entanglements at all costs? We will be staying out of Russia and Ukraine because it's not our affairs. They're foreign sovereign nations, and we want to set the standard of peace and prosperity and stability. And so we're going to obey the greatest general's advice and avoid foreign entanglements. Do they have an article written like that, sir? Because I submit to you, all they have is agitation stories pre-prepared. They don't have any stories that would really back away from war and stand for humility and peace and prosperity and stability and safety and morality and justice and the American way. They don't have anything like that, do they?
I would
challenge
not.
Them on it. Release a headline instantly to prove it with a story so we can see it before you take it down, too, to counterbalance your provocateur agenda. See? That's what I would be saying to these clowns.
Well, I think that their track record would indicate that they are a globalist organization that seeks to bring about a subversion of the United States into a global government. And the more that they can, foster that through any of the stories they do, whether it's a global warming thing or a COVID panic thing or a deal against the idea that we need to control and contain our borders or going off to war. I mean, you pick any subject you want. I think that they are there pushing the bigger government kind of concept that would have government take a bigger footprint in our life. Again, I think of footprint because of the boot on the throat.
Amen to that. But I look at it and say, my scenario would be to promote a humble foreign policy and set the record straight about blow back the CIA documented reality and more. But even if they don't go as far as I do, they could write a headline that says Biden wisely averts catastrophe with Russia and Ukraine. I mean, you could even write a headline that simply said, hey, we didn't go to war. Thank heavens. Headline. Do they have one of those?
No. Our foreign policy is an absolute disaster in this country. We I believe, would forever be safe and secure within our borders if we had an appropriate foreign policy. Now, that doesn't mean that we wouldn't have tyranny within our country caused by tyrants that seem to think they can do whatever they want. But I'm thinking in terms of invasion, in terms of the attacks of foreign powers and so on and so forth. If we had a humble foreign policy that recognized the original intent of the American founding fathers, whether it's George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or James Madison or Monroe or John Quincy Adams, any of those guys, go read their material and find that we are absolutely diametrically opposed even to the founding principles upon which the nation was established in the belief that no nation could interfere in another nation's internal affairs. The Council on Foreign Relations doesn't believe that. The United Nations doesn't believe that. NATO doesn't believe that. United States foreign policy doesn't believe that. We do coup d'etats. We overthrow other countries.
But our founding fathers believed that, and our God requires a just stance before war, etc. Our foreign policy needs to be changed to a humble foreign policy based on morality and based on the rule of law and the separation of powers via the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. Final story before the end of the hour, Doctor, and sorry to switch gears so much, but I really want to get this story out too. Joe Rogan is being attacked big time. And I don't agree with everything Joe Rogan says, but I agree with his right to say it, okay? Well, anyway, here's what happened. Somebody put together a video montage of all the times he used the, quote, N-word. And what they did, though, is they put the video together and they took it out of context because Joe's reference to the N-word was always in context but relating to what others were saying. He was quoting other people. Anyway, if you really study the context, you get a completely different picture than this dishonest and that Joe Rogan uses. Well, they're trying to use this to take Joe Rogan down. Spotify has already fallen for the lie and participated in it. So Spotify deletes, quote, 70 episodes of the Joe Rogan Experience, they say, is new racial slurs and the controversy relating to it forces podcast host to apologize. The most regretful and shameful thing I've ever had to admit to and deal with or talk about publicly, says Joe Rogan. Now, I say shame on Joe for apologizing, number one. And number two, they're going to take him down. And the more you apologize, the more they find weakness in you and they will abuse you. Now, look, I'm not for racist agendas and I'm not for using the N-word. But ladies and gentlemen, you know what? Barack Obama used it with no problem more than once. And yes, there's a context to it. Remember that for both Barack and Joe. They tried to find Trump using the N-word and couldn't find it, so they dropped that narrative. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm not for the N-word. I think it's wrong to use anything else. But you know what? You have your free speech in the First Amendment. It doesn't say except for the N-word. It doesn't say except for this or that. So if Joe wants to use the N-word in context or out of context, Joe Rogan has every right to do so. I mean, Joe Biden just called a reporter an ignorant son of a bee. That's okay, but using the N-word's not. Except for the N-word is used by all the rap artists in every one of their songs. Over oh, so just the white people can't use the N-word, but the black people can. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all an assault on your free speech, and I don't defend what Joe says, meaning Joe Rogan, but I defend his right to say it, Doctor.
It's interesting you bring up the rap stars and their ability to kind of slander every single term that they ever want to. I mean, whether it's Christian or anybody. But this particular thing, if you just stop and think about it, who runs those big record companies that make that? They're usually white people. And so these white people get a pass on that, and they continue to make hundreds of millions, maybe billions of dollars. I don't know what their paycheck looks like. But the fact of the matter is that the white people that are taking advantage of that are not the front or the face of it, but they're behind the scenes having full value. And I just think it's a real enigma to me how these things are brought about for basically agendas that are to divide and conquer. That's communist. We've talked about that so many times on your program, how conflict, class warfare, class conflict is the basis of disrupting society. That's how the communists have always done it. That's how Marx said it should be done. And it's being carried out magnificently by their programs, and so they're splitting society up and destroying our general welfare, our proper government. The general welfare has to do with a safe, predictable, proper government, you know, and so yeah, it's amazing how it all fits together in a very, very concerted and well-planned kind of approach to things. And this is just one more thing, and Rogan probably, I don't know if he's going to be completely taken down or if he'll just become he'd be neutered by the whole thing or whatever, but they take any opportunity they can to push back on anybody that's got a different viewpoint than the establishment, and that just seems to be what this is.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious business, whether we're talking about going to war, whether we're talking about climate change, whether we're talking about COVID, whether we're talking about any of these things used to steal your liberty. We need to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We need to be humble, turn to God Almighty. We need to have humility to repentance. We then need to stand tall and understand the checks and balances are very simple. We gave government authority by our consent. But when they act outside of that authority, it's time that we, the people, rein them in. And until we do so, we're in serious trouble. We need to turn to God. We need to focus on our family. And then we need to hold our country accountable and use the supreme law of the land to our advantage. That is the key to restoration. We don't need a convention of the states. We don't need a better mousetrap built to our door. We have one that's got a tried and true track record of a couple of hundred years of more freedom to more people in the history of the world than any other example you can point to. Let's return to the tried and true. For Dr. Scott Bradley and Sam Bushman, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.